الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل، أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم، ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا، وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: الصلاة وما ملكت أيمانكم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, sisters, and fellow colleagues, as we all know, and it can safely be said without fear of contradiction, that the saddest moment in the annals of Islamic history, nay, in the history of this universe, is that crucial, critical moment wherein the master of both the worlds, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, left this world and passed onwards. As described by none other than Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, who at the crucial, fatal illness of her father said, and at the death of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she said, "Subbat alayya masa'ibu law annaha subbat ala al-ayyami sirna layaliya." That such a calamity, such a catastrophe has befallen me on the death of my father. Indeed, it is so colossal, so mammoth, so weighty. لَوْ أَنَّهَا سُبَّتْ عَلَى الْأَيَّامِ. If perchance this tragedy, this calamity had to rest on the day, even the day doesn't have the ability to contain it, instantly it would convert into night. يَا أَبَتَا أَجَابَ رَبًّا دَعَا. يَا أَبَتَا إِلَى جِبْرِيلَ نَنْعَا. يَا أَبَتَا جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ مَأْوَى. O my father, it looks like you have responded to the call of your Allah. O my father, to whom do we convey the message of your death other than your closest friend Jibreel? Nabi alayhi salam had such a close bond with revelation via Jibreel that in the commentary of this ayah it is written, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا. وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. That one day the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel, زُرْنَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا تَزُرُنَا. Why don't you make a presence more often so that I can meet you and see you? Subsequently, the verses will reveal on behalf of Jibreel that I do not come down by choice, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather I come on the decree of Allah. O my father, do we convey the message to Jibreel and say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed on? Ya abata jannatul firdaus ma'wa. O my father, go on. And definitely the jannatul firdaus has been decorated and designated exclusively for you. What did she tell Anas radiallahu anhu? When the body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lowered, when they return after the burial, Fatima radiallahu anha with tears in her eyes, she says, Oh Anas, I have one question to ask you. Atabat nafsukum, atabat nafsukum an tahthu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at-turab. Anas, tell me, how did you people pluck up courage? Where did you get that inner strength from and take sand and soil and throw it on the body of my beloved father sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Can you imagine for a moment, let us introspect and ask ourselves, what would be the condition of that father who calls his daughter passionately, politely, gently, lovingly, caringly, "Come here, my little daughter." And she comes happily, assuming her father is going to tell her some good news, perhaps something that she was desirous of. Fatima radiyallahu anha, who was that beloved to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that one day Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu said, he told his mother, "Oh my mother, let me go and perform salah with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then I will ask him to make dua for forgiveness." And that was what was valuable to them. And it brings me to another hadith with regards to the virtue of the Ansar. That the Ansar had some difficulty in their farming, in their business. So they decided, while we institute measures to enhance our farming, why not approach the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and perhaps ask him to invoke and make dua to Allah that we see prosperity in our business. As they were coming close to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, he stood up and he said, "Marhaban bil Ansar, marhaban bil Ansar, la tas'aluni al-yawma shay'an illa a'taytukumuhu, wa la as'alu Allah lakum shay'an illa a'tanihi. Come, O my Ansar, I swear by Allah, whatever you're going to ask me today, you have it. And I can also tell you this much, whatever I will ask Allah on your behalf, Allah will give it to me." When they heard the confirmation of the acceptance of their request, they said, "Ightanimuha wasaluhul maghfira." That when the Nabi of Allah has promised that he will grant and he will respond positively to our requests, let us not be foolish to present our material need. Let us rather capitalize and seize the opportunity and strike while it is there and say, "O Nabi of Allah, make dua that Allah must forgive us." Subhanallah, they changed their agenda instantly, and the Nabi of Allah says, "Is that your only request?" They say, "Yes, O Nabi of Allah." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Allahumma ghafir lil ansar, wali abna'i al ansar, wali abna'i al ansar, wali azwaji al ansar, wali jirani al ansar." Allah, forgive them, forgive their partners, forgive their neighbors. Allah, forgive their children, forgive their grandchildren. So, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, "I came and I sat behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, passionately waiting to ask him to make dua for forgiveness." Again, how many of us in the spirit of love are we desirous that we be favored with the dream and the ziyarah of Nabi alayhi salam in our dreams? You will see many youngsters who have come to me and say, "Sheikh, give me a dua that I know who I'll get married to." Like, you know, one brother told me this year, he says, "Sheikh, I have a problem in salah. I think of my wife too often." So my answer to him was, "You're a lucky man. Because majority of people think of other people's wives while performing salah." So I said, "That's not the ideal situation, but you're better than others. At least you're thinking of your wife, which is halal and correct. Nonetheless, how passionate are we to see the Nabi of Allah?" When a Sahabi asked Allah after the death of Nabi alayhi salam, that, "Oh Allah, this sight and this vision was good to see your Nabi. Now that he is gone, let it be that my last vision was his blessed body. Take my sight away." فَكُفَّ بَصَرُهُ, he became blind instantly. He says, "I perform Maghrib Salah behind Nabi alayhi salam. And then he delayed and he performed nafal until Isha. And after Isha salah was over, I started walking behind him, tabi'atuhu. So he turned around and he said, 'Who is this? Is this Hudhayfa?' I said, 'Yes, O Nabi of Allah.' He instantly said, 'Ghafara Allahu laka wa li ummik.' 'O Hudhayfa, may Allah forgive you and your mother. Listen, this angel just descended. Ista'adhana Rabbahu min an yubashirani. And he came with the consent of Allah to grant me the glad tidings that Allah has decided that Fatima will remain exclusively the queen of Jannah, and Hassan and Hussein will be the leaders of the youth of Jannah.'" So Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Nabi of Allah calls her. Can we imagine? She comes willingly, happily, passionately. And then he whispers something into her ears. فَبَكَتْ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. She doesn't just tear or cry, nay, she sobs. But again, as Muslims, look at the great lessons we learn. What was the physical maturity in the life of Fatima that the Nabi of Allah could divulge the fact that the moments for him to move on had come close? What was that intimate relation? She was a young girl of 28 at this time. The Nabi of Allah whispers and she becomes emotional and she cries. فَلَمَّا رَأَى حُزْنَهَا وَجَزْعَهَا سَرَّهَ الثَّانِيَةَ When he seen Fatima started sobbing uncontrollably, he pet his Fatima. The riwayat of Abu Dawood, whenever Fatima would come, he would stand up, kiss her blessed hands, and make her sit in his place. يُؤْذِينِي مَا آذَاهَا Whatever hurts her, hurts me. Whatever pleases her, pleases me. When the Nabi of Allah stands up in her walk, مَا تُخْفِي مِشْيَتُهَا مِن مِشْيَةِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم Her walk was precisely the walk of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. When she stands up and excuses, when the Nabi of Allah excuses himself, Aisha radiallahu anha says, عَزَمْتُ عَلَيْكِ بِمَا لِي عَلَيْكِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ I ask you, through the bond that I have, of course I am not your mother, O Fatima, but I am the mankuha of your father, that what was the secret between you and your father? Fatima radiallahu anha declines and she says, مَا كُنْتُ لِأُفْشِي عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سِرَّهُ I will not divulge his secret. In due course, when the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم passes away, Aisha radiallahu anha comes back to Fatima and says, what was this golden words? What was the secret? She says, the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم told me that Jibreel used to visit me on an annual basis and he used to recite the Quran to me once. And this time he came and he did it twice. وَلَا أُرَى الْأَجَلَ إِلَّا قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ Oh my beloved Fatima, I love you my baby. But listen, the fear has become a reality. The time has come, your father has to move onwards. What a painful statement indeed. But yet what was the maturity of Sahaba? That the Nabi of Allah held the hand of Muaz and said, عَسَىٰ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا لَعِلَّكَ تَمُرُّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَبِقَبْرِي O Mu'adh, I am sending you off to Yemen. Who knows, perhaps this is the last we meet. Just one word of advice to you as you are going on. لَعَلَّكَ تَمُرُّ بِمَسْجِدِي You will find my grave, you will find my masjid, you will find me not. Today we lack the sense of maturity. Abdullah ibn Zubair in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif says, My father called me in the battle of Jamal, on the eve of Jamal, and he told me, لَا يُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ أَوْ مَظْلُومٌ وَإِنِّي أُرَى الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا أَنْ أُقْتَلْ مَظْلُومٌ Listen, my son, I have one message to tell you. Some will be dying innocently, and some will be dying aggressively. I assume I will be amongst those that will be dying innocently. And I have to make you in charge of all my estate. I have so many debts behind, and I have left behind so much estate. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي I'm leaving you in charge. This is the end of it. I'm going never to return. You settle everything. And if perchance you encounter any difficulty, look at the maturity in their relation. Look at the sensitive nature of this interaction. But subhanallah, those were the youth of that time. إِنْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِمَوْلَايَ Oh my son, if you have any problems after your father is late in settling the debts, then you must ask my master, not my lawyer, not my banker, speak to my master. قَالَ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا دَرَيْتُ مَا أَرَادْ حَتَّى قُلْتُ يَا أَبَتِ وَمَنْ مَوْلَاكَ I said, oh my father, you haven't even told me clearly and you are going to pass away. You just want to refresh my memory. Who's your master? So my father reminded me, Allah. Who else? قَالَ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا وَقَعْتُ فِي كُرْبَةٍ مِّن دَيْنِهِ إِلَّا قُلْتُ يَا مَوْلَى الزُّبَيْرِ اِقْضِ عَنْهُ دَيْنَهُ Thereafter, whenever I faced any financial difficulty, when resolving the estate of my father and any area of difficulty arose, immediately I would supplicate Allah and say, Oh, the Lord of Zubair, take in charge of the dealings of Zubair, and Allah would make divine arrangements. So this were the final moments in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the Nabi of Allah gained slight consciousness and there was a positive indication, he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, would you permit me? I just want to go and visit my wife. I had promised to spend the day with her. So the Nabi of Allah willingly agreed and he went. It was in this critical moment when he excused himself that the time had come, the final moment, wherein the Nabi of Allah was told, عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُ. O Nabi of Allah, love whomsoever you wish, inevitably death will come. And love as long as you want to, but one day you will have to pass on. لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةُ وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ وَلَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ فَإِنْ صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنُ وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. When he leaves and he is informed that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, immediately Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes. He moves the sheet from the blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kisses him on his forehead, cries and he says, طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَطِبْتَ مَيِّتًا. O my Nabi, you lived as a unique man, and when you've passed away, you are equally unique. While we respect and acknowledge the sentiments and the emotions of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and his hysterical expression in relation to the ties and the affiliation he had to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the same time, we salute the maturity of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We respect the sentiments of Umar radiallahu anhu. From our heart we understand and we endeavor to comprehend it was in the noblest of interests. But we salute the maturity of Abu Bakr, that when Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Nabi of Allah said, tell Abu Bakr to lead the salah, Aisha intervened and she said, no, O Nabi of Allah. Again the Nabi of Allah said, let Abu Bakr lead, I am not feeling well. Again Aisha said, no, O Nabi of Allah, inna Aba Bakrin rajulan bakka'a, my father is very soft, he will cry. Again the Nabi of Allah said, let Abu Bakr lead the congregation. Again Aisha declined. The Nabi of Allah said, how stubborn can woman be at times? Scholars explain, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Aisha radiallahu anha's vision was somehow greater. She fully understood and comprehended that when my father takes on this place, it is accepting a great responsibility. And it was in relation to the enormous task that was to rest, the daunting task that was to come onto the shoulders of Abu Bakr, which she herself said, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِأَبِي وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِأَبِي مَا لَوْ نَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ لَهَا ظَهَا. On the death of my husband, such a challenge rested on my father that if it had to come on the mountains, even that would be shattered into pieces. But subhanallah, what a unique role and model and demonstration Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did in total compliance to the orders of Allah. Hence, someone one day came to Umar and said, you know what, Umar, with utmost respect to Abu Bakr, my personal opinion is you are more senior than Abu Bakr. If somebody comes and tells me that, I will say it louder the next time. كَثَّرَ اللَّهُ أَمْثَالَكَ. May Allah increase your likes. But what were the words of Umar? وَاللَّهِ لَلَيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَوْمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُمَرْ وَآلِ عُمَرْ. You are saying that I am better than Abu Bakr. I swear by Allah, my entire life and the life of my entire family cannot be equal in virtue to two nights of Abu Bakr. One was the day that the Nabi of Allah passed away. The steadfastness, the commitment, the devotion and the vision of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What were his last words as he passes on? You know, even a child that is not an obedient child, that he is not a diligent child, but he also takes to heart the last words of his dying father. If this congregation can only embrace the last sermon of Nabi alayhi salam, that, oh Allah, I have failed. You will find a father, a son, that has been disobedient to his parents, but at the side of his bed in the hospital, he sobs. He laments, he cries, he regrets, and he tries to cherish the last bits of his father's words. Now whatever I can do, be it financial support, be it moral support, after all, this is my father. I always say, while we chant the slogans, that to the end of Yahud and Nasara, from the lands of Arabia and from the lands of the Muslims, my question to you is, my brothers and sisters, Allah be my witness, if they withdraw from Palestine and they withdraw from Iraq, but what is the benefit if Judaism and Christianity exists in our hearts? Hence, our dua is, Allahumma akhrij al-yahudiyyata wal-nasraniyyata awwalan an qulub al-muslimin. Allah, before removing them from the lands, take Judaism and Christianity out of the hearts of the Muslims. I ask you, in the spirit of loyalty, to revive the last words. Take his last sermon to heart. What did he say in Hajjatul Wada? I need hours upon hours to take on one advice. Let us just speak on one, two contentious issues. He was a man of few words. The Nabi of Allah was a man of few words, favored with comprehensive speech. Utitu jawami al-kalim. You know this verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha najaytumur rasool faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqan. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha najaytumur rasool faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqan. O you who believe, prior to making your presence in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should discharge charity. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, هَذِهِ آيَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا عَمِلَ بِهَا أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي وَلَا يَعْمَلْ بِهَا أَحَدٌ بَعْدِي. This is a verse of the Quran. None enjoys the privilege of practicing on it prior to me, and none will ever have the privilege of practicing on this verse after me. I am the only individual in this entire ummah who practice on this verse. Indeed, this is an honor. You must open up the books of tafaseer in Madarik al-Tanzeel in particular. Subhanallah, what was the honor of Sahaba in Bukhari Sharif, first volume on page 155, the couplets of Abdullah ibn Rawaha appear, who used to say, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَا الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ يَبِيتُ يُجَافِي جَنْبَهُ عَنْ فِرَاشِهِ إِذَا اسْتَثْقَلَتْ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ الْمَضَاجِعُ. Oh people, how can I possibly translate our good fortune? Amongst us was the Nabi of Allah. It was the golden era of prophethood. It was the early part of the morning. It was the holy lands of Mecca. And the Prophet of Allah was reciting Quran. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu comes. And he asks few questions. What was the verse? Before you come in the company of Nabi alayhi salam, give some charity. He says, the verse was revealed, I had a dinar, I made some change, I gave it in the path of Allah, and I came and I sat down with the Nabi of Allah. Now often you find in the world, the media features when two celebrities meet, and it's given the front page of the newspapers and it's given coverage. I swear by Allah, to call Sayyidina Ali a celebrity is the insult of the greatest standing. The word celebrity, no word can do justice. To call the mothers, the maximum in English language will take you is to say the first lady. The honor that Allah has afforded to the mothers of the believers, the word first lady is too shallow, too hollow. In relation to the honor Allah has afforded to the consorts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what a term, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, the mothers of the believers. My mother is my mother because she told me that she is my mother and I believe in that. But Aisha radiallahu anha is my mother because Allah told me she is my mother. You know, there is a beautiful verse Allah speaks about. one kafir in Surah Noon. Allah speaks about nine evils of his. أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ Zanim, Allah refers to him nine evils. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I do not know of any kafir who has been described in the Quran with so many evils as this kafir. The last quality that the Quran says is that he is an illegitimate child. He comes to his mother and he says, Oh my mother, إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا وَصَفَنِي بِتِسْعَ صِفَاتِ أَعْرِفُهُنَّ غَيْرَ التَّاسِعِ The Quran of Muhammad has said, I have nine evil traits. I can identify with the first eight, but the ninth one divulges your infidelity. And that is how immoral you are. And the Quran of Muhammad says, I'm illegitimate. And the Quran of Muhammad cannot speak a lie. Today I have understood after the revelation of this verse, you've betrayed me, O my mother. The commentary explains it in great detail. So imagine Sayyidina Ali asking questions and the Nabi of Allah answering. Subhanallah, you must read this dialogue. It appears in Madarik al-Tanzil. He says, I asked the Nabi of Allah questions. I will just mention one, two. He says, I asked the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا الْوَفَاءُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is loyalty and faithfulness? The Nabi of Allah says, الْإِيمَانُ وَالتَّوْحِيدُ Believing in the oneness of Allah. قُلْتُ وَمَا الْفَسَادُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is the direct opposite? What is corruption and evil? The Nabi of Allah said, الْكُفْرُ وَالشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ To ascribe partners with Allah. The third question I asked, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَاذَا عَلَيَّ What am I responsible to do? The Nabi of Allah said two things, طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةُ رَسُولِهِ Obedience to Allah and compliance to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we shift our logic. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu in the riwayat of Muslim said, نَهَانَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ أَمْرٍ كَانَ لَنَا نَافِعًا وَطَوَاعِيَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ هِيَ أَنْفَعُ لَنَا That we were engaging in a particular method in farming, which proved beneficial to us, which the Nabi of Allah prohibited us to do. So what did he say? وَطَوَاعِيَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ هِيَ أَنْفَعُ لَنَا Compliance to the dictates of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beneficial than anything else for us. Furthermore, O Nabi of Allah, مَاذَا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ أَدْعُ اللَّهِ How should I supplicate Allah? The Nabi of Allah said, بِالصُّدْقِ وَالْيَقِينِ Supplicate Allah with conviction. مَاذَا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ What should I ask Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ Ask Allah for good health. And let me take up 2 minutes and digress and appeal to the audience that is here, O my young brothers and sisters. مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةِ وَالْمَالُ حُلٌّ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ Allah hasn't favored any human with a better or a greater quality than good health. وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ Whoever enjoys good health enjoys a blissful life. وَالْمَالُ حُلْوٌ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَىٰ Wealth undoubtedly enhances the beauty of a boy. لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ But it is temporary. مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا How beautiful this world is. لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ But what its beauty, it's deceptive. I always say that Allah gave the Sahaba more joy in their sickness than we have in our health. And Allah kept them more content in their poverty than we are in our wealth. And believe me, they enjoyed greater joy in dying than you and I enjoy in living. Allah favored them with more joy in their sickness than we are in our health, and in their poverty than we are in our affluence. Then what did I ask the Nabi of Allah? مَاذَا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ What dua should I make? Look at how comprehensive the Nabi of Allah said. صَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ My next question was, مَاذَا أَصْنَعُ لِنَجَاتِ نَفْسِي O Nabi of Allah, what can I do for the salvation of my soul? And that is what I want to tie it up with. His last words were the summary of deen. It was a synopsis of deen in its entirety. Look at these two advisors. Look at how comprehensive.
And I ask you, like any disobedient child, would latch on to the last words of his father. If this congregation can only latch on to the last sermon of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallah, there will be a revolution. What did he say? What must you do for the salvation of your soul? Two things. Kul halalan wa kul sidqan. Kul halalan, eat that which is pure and utter that which is true. Eat that which is pure and utter that which is true. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I asked few other questions. I barely terminated, and that was the end, and this verse was abrogated. So let us look at one, two aspects, the comprehensive nature. With regards to kindness towards women and their obedience towards husbands that the Nabi of Allah has spoken about. The reason why I choose this out of the entire sermon, number one, due to the constraints of time. Number two, this is an area of major concern both in the Muslim and the Western world. The Nabi of Allah outlined the duty of men towards their wives and the respect and the obligation of women to their husbands. The first thing that this conference should provide and instill within us, which comes across loud and clear in the lives of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was the spirit of unity in taking the message of deen forward. While we have time for everything else, as husband and wife, as partners, as spouses, to unite our aims and make it one in common in the mission and the object of deen. Was it not the case in the life of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam exhorts them to spend in the path of Allah? Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah yastaqriduna wa huwa ghaniyun anil qard. Have I heard correct? Allah is asking for a loan, knowing very well that Allah doesn't need money. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, correct. He says, I have two gardens. Ihdahuma bisafila wal ukhra bil aliya. One is in safila, one is in aliya. And I have given both for the pleasure of Allah without consulting his wife. The Nabi of Allah says, keep one for your family and give one in charity. He says, if that is the case, قَدْ جَعَلْتُ خَيْرَهُمَا لِلَّهِ, then the better of the two goes for Allah. The Nabi of Allah praises him as he walks. وَأُمُّ الدَّحْدَاحُ وَعِيَالُهَا فِي. The wife and the children are reclining in one of the gardens and the orchards. Subhanallah, as was common amongst the Arabs with their poetry, as he comes, he says, هَدَاكِ رَبِّي سُبُلَ الرَّشَادِ إِلَى سَبِيلِ الْخَيْرِ وَالسَّدَادِ بَيْنِي مِنَ الْحَائِطِ بِالْوَدَادِ فَقَدْ مَضَى قَرْضًا إِلَى التَّنَادِي أَقْرَضْتُهُ اللَّهَ عَلَى اعْتِمَادِي بِالطَّوْعِ لَا مَنًّا وَلَا ارْتِدَادِ إِلَّا رَجَاءَ الضِّعْفِ فِي الْيَمْعَادِ فَارْتَحِلِي بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَالْبِرُّ لَا شَكَّ فَخَيْرُ زَادٍ قَدَّمَهُ الْمَرْءُ إِلَى الْمَعَادِ. الله أكبر. She then replies, بَشَّرَكَ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ وَفَرَجٍ بَشَّرَكَ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ وَفَرَجٍ مِثْلُكَ أَدَّى مَا لَدَيْهِ وَنَصَحَ قَدْ مَتَّعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِيَالِي وَمَنَحَ بِالْعَجْوَةِ السَّوْدَاءِ وَالزَّهْوِ الْبَلَحِ وَالْعَبْدُ يَسْعَى وَلَهُ مَا قَدْ كَدَحَ طُولَ اللَّيَالِ وَعَلَيْهِمَ اجْتَرَحَ. If I have to translate these couplets, you will have to give me a conference of my own. But this was the spirit in unity. And this is what we need to learn and share today. That the last words of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in kindness towards our wives and uniting in our vision for deen. If you look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his social conduct, which forms part of his final advices. And thereafter I move on to his ultimate advice and we round it up with that. He lived a practical life of such patience. It was in this very final journey of Hajjatul Wada that while he was traveling with all his spouses, with him was Aisha radiallahu anha and the other wives. Safiya radiallahu anha, who we know came from a Yahudi background. Her father was Huyay ibn Akhtab, who was not a Muslim. And hence the other wives were somehow hostile towards her initially, fearing that perhaps there might be some other intention. But she proved to be so loyal, so faithful, so obliging, that in the fatal illness of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the throes of death, when his honorable consorts surround him, then Safiya radiyallahu anha, the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her, she comes and she whispers and she says, O Nabi of Allah, I swear by Allah, I wish I was in your pain and you were in my comfort. The other wives, they start winking eyes to one another and they say, well, listen to this one. How's that for an input? The Nabi of Allah observed, he said, go on winking eyes, I swear by Allah, I know my Safiya is speaking the truth. Such faithfulness she displayed. Safiya radiallahu anha's bedding was very heavy in the final Hajj, and her camel was slow. Aisha radiallahu anha's bedding was light, and her camel was swift. The riwayat comes in Tabaqat li Ibn Sa'ad. وَكَانَ مَتَاعُ عَيْشَ فِيهِ خِفٌ وَكَانَ مَتَاعُ صَفِيَّ فِيهِ ثِقْلٌ. So the Nabi of Allah said, حَوِّلُوا مَتَاعَ عَيْشَ عَلَى جَمَلِ صَفِيَّ وَحَوِّلُوا مَتَاعَ صَفِيَّ عَلَى جَمَلِ عَيْشَ. Take the bedding of Aisha and put it on Safiya's camel, and take Safiya's bedding and put it on Aisha's camel, because Aisha's camel is swift and her bedding is light. So when they did this year, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha did not like the idea. And she said, غَلَبَتْنَا هَذِهِ الْيَهُودِيَّةُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ غَلَبَتْنَا هَذِهِ الْيَهُودِيَّةُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. But subhanallah, I cry whenever I read this, Allah be my witness. You know, when I read this incident in the books of hadith, where that person says, I walked into the masjid, and it was after the prohibition of salah, and then someone sneezed, and I said, Alhamdulillah. He said, Alhamdulillah. So I said, Yarham. I sneezed, so I said, Alhamdulillah. So people started looking at me. So I said, Ma sha'anukum tanzuruna ilayya. Why are you people looking at me in salah? So they indicated to me, keep quiet, it's salah. So when I got the message, they were trying to silence me, I kept quiet. After namaz was over, I did not know that the subsequent injunctions of prohibition of speech were revealed. The Nabi of Allah then called me, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. I say this hadith to my students and I cry. I cry because I know how far I am from this reality. While I wish to impart and disseminate, I know how evil I am. وَاللَّهِ لَوْ عَلِمُوا قَبِيحَ سَرِيرَتِي لَأَبَى السَّلَامَ عَلَيَّ مَنْ يَلْقَانِي وَلَأَعْرَضُوا عَنِّي وَمَلُّوا صُحْبَتِي وَلَبَعْتُ بَعْدَ كَرَامَةٍ بِهَوَانِي لَكِنْ سَتَرْتَ مَعَايِبِي وَمَثَالِبِي وَحَلُمْتَ عَنْ تُغْيَانِي فَلَكَ الْمَحَامِدُ كُلُّهَا بِخَوَاطِرِي وَجَوَارِحِي وَلِسَانِي. I cry because I know how far I am from this reality. He says, the Nabi of Allah called me. He did not embarrass me, not disgrace me, not victimize me. He pet me and he said, this is the house of Allah, and in salah speech is forbidden. I swear by Allah, neither before nor after has the earth nor the sky seen a more gentle tutor than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when Aisha said, غَلَبَتْنَا هَذِهِ الْيَهُودَ, in the journey of Hajj, many of us perhaps embark on the spiritual journey. May Allah make it easy for the Muslims globally. What did he say? Ya Aisha, inna mata'aki fihi khiffun wa mata'u Safiya fihi thiqlun. Don't get so emotional. Your bedding was light, Safiya's bedding was heavy. We just switched it around. She says, Alasta taz'umu annaka Rasulullah? But then you claim to say you the Prophet of Allah? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why? Awa fi shakkin anti? You doubt the matter, Aisha? Have we ever read the social life? We are reading of such evil celebrities, such immoral people. There's a problem in our marriage. And then we read in the books that will make that marriage go into jeopardy. We get in wrong arbitration, wrong navigation, wrong input into our marriages. Do you know his social conduct? There was a Sahabi by the name of Zahir. He used to live on the outskirts. The riwayat comes in Tirmidhi. He used to live on the outskirts. He was a very simple man. Nobody took time for him. Whenever he used to come to Medina, the Nabi of Allah used to sit with him, and the Nabi of Allah used to say, "Inna zahiran badiyatana wa nahnu hadiruhu." He's my contact in the village, and I'm his contact here. One day he came and he put down his things and he started selling. The Nabi of Allah came from the back and clasped his blessed hands on the face of Zahir, and he said, "May yashtari hadhal abd." I'm selling this man. Who wants to buy him? Subhanallah, that Nabi who got that close to Allah that even Jibreel couldn't journey beyond. But when he dropped himself as an ordinary human, he lowered himself so low that even you and I don't take that time in social dealings with our little ones or those that are shunned in society. So this Sahabi feels and he says, "Who is this?" And then he turns around and he says, "Oh, this is the Nabi of Allah." He says, "Idhan tajiduni kasida wallah." "Oh, Nabi of Allah, you selling me? I'm very cheap." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Lakin indallahi lasta bikasid." You might be cheap to the world, but I swear by Allah, in the eyes of Allah, you're the most valuable human. So what did he tell Aisha? "Aisha, are you doubting?" Abu Bakr comes to intercept and is about to slap Aisha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam held Abu Bakr and he said, "Oh, Abu Bakr, leave her alone." So Abu Bakr said, "Awalam tasma' ma qalat?" "Oh, Nabi of Allah, don't you know what she has said?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "When a woman is emotional, she doesn't understand right from left, bottom from top, leave her alone." You know, they say a man is incomplete until he is married. When he gets married, now this is my part of it. Right. Listen to my part. When he gets married, if he gets the right woman, he's completed. Otherwise, he's finished. What a life our Nabi led. What a man he was. The riwayat is in Ibn Majah. He had a dispute with Safiya radiyallahu anha. Subhanallah. She comes to Aisha and she tells Aisha, "I'm prepared to give you my night if you're ready to patch up with me for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Subhanallah. What role models. Allah has made the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam exemplary. The daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam exemplary. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma uzawwiju banati walakin Allah yuzawwijuhunna." I don't choose my son-in-laws. When Ruqayya radiyallahu anha was divorced by the son of Abu Lahab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got his two daughters, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, married to the two sons of his uncle Abu Lahab. And after Surah Lahab was revealed, he came to his sons and he said, "Divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." The marriage had not been consummated. And then Uthman came to propose. And the Nabi of Allah said, "I do not decide, Allah decides." And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave Ruqayya in his nikah. Subhanallah. At that time also, you know, these couplets come to mind. The aunt, Uthman radiallahu anhu says, "My aunt Su'da one day was passing and she looked at me sitting with the daughter of the Nabi of Allah." You know, they talk of the ideal couple. They talk of a grand entrance. And they mind-boggling. And she looks like a doll. And wow, subhanallah, Uthman, the third Khalifa, and the daughter of the Nabi of Allah. What did Su'da say? "Abshir wa huyita thalathan witra, thumma thalathan wa thalathan ukhra, thumma bi ukhra likay tutimma ashra. لقيت خيرا ووقيت شرا نكحت والله حصانا زهرا وأنت بكر ولقيت بكرا أبشر وحييت ثلاثا وترا ثم ثلاثا وثلاثا أخرى." May the blessings of Allah come upon this couple. May it be three times. No, make it six. No, make it nine and add one and have it 10 times. أبشر وحييت ثلاثا وترا ثم ثلاثا وثلاثا أخرى. I've already been given my cut-off note and I haven't started. Time is always of essence and it's a difficulty. Let me bring you to this one incident and I wrap it up. I wish to respect my time limit. So Safiya radiallahu anha tells Aisha, "Will you patch up for me?" She says, "No problem." فَلَبِسْتُ خِمَارًا كَانَ عِنْدِي مَسْبُوغًا. Aisha said, "I had one exclusive scarf which I kept for occasions. I put it on." Now, you must appreciate the sacrifice that Safiya radiallahu anha made to make this marriage, to patch up the relation with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She sacrificed her night with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, knowing very well every second in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every moment in his company is better than decades of ibadat. Understand the vision of this woman. I marvel at Safiya radiallahu anha. I marvel at Sauda radiallahu anha. I cannot tire speaking about this woman. My heart makes dua for her every moment, every second that she comes to my Nabi when he intends divorcing her. And she says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, have I hurt your feelings?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "No." She says, "I have a request. I salute the cleanliness in the heart of this woman. I have a request. Don't divorce me. I have passed the age of having contact with men. You can willingly spend my night with your wife Aisha. Don't divorce me. I wish to remain your wife and stand up as your partner on the day of Qiyamah." It was the vision of this woman. It was the cleanliness of her heart, that she was free from jealousy, that Allah gave her that example and that honor, that she stands up on the day of Qiyamah as the mother of the believers. Aisha radiallahu anha, when Umar ibn Khattab's body was brought, he told his son, "Go and ask the mother of the believers if I can be buried there." When the body was brought, she said, "Marhaban bi Amir al-Mu'mineen." Tell Umar ibn Khattab, "I wanted to be buried next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but Umar is that individual for whom all preferences can be given." How clean their hearts were. How clean their hearts were. One person, Ismail, a great authority on Arabic grammar, says, "Ra'aytu a'rabiyan qad balagha umruhu 120 sana." I met one villager who was living for 120 years. Today you will meet a man at the age of 90. You'll ask him, "What's the secret?" "A cup of milk in the morning." "What's the secret?" "Jog around your house." "What's the secret?" "This or that." I asked him, "What's the secret of your health?" He says, "Taraktu al-hasada fabaqitu. Taraktu al-hasad fabaqitu." My heart doesn't harbor ill feelings for any individual on this earth. Because of that, I enjoy divine health from Allah. So Aisha radiallahu anha comes and sits down. The Nabi of Allah tells her, "Ilayka anni, go from here, it's not your night." She says, "You don't know, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ." That's the mercy of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "What do you mean?" She says, "You know what? You had an argument with Safiya and she sent me to patch up." The Nabi of Allah got so happy, embraced her and pardoned Safiya permanently and spent that night with Aisha. Let me conclude with the same words which were said in the previous talk. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. I wanted to explore this much more. I will say 2-3 things and I will end. What did the Nabi of Allah say? When his speech was barely audible, he said, "My last message to you is 2 things. Fear Allah with regards to the performance of salah, and fear Allah with regards to the treatment of your slaves." Now scholars explain, as I was speaking, the comprehensive speech. That person who will become punctual of his salah, he will become more conscious and more dutiful in all other aspects. Man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-din wa man dayya'aha fa huwa lima siwaha adya'. He who established, look at this here. In 2 words, the whole deen has been condensed. That person who is punctual of his salah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hold on to salah." When Sayyidina Umar was assassinated and he was brought out and he gained consciousness, "Hal sallal muslimun al-fajra?" That fajr salah that I left incomplete, was it completed or not? That should be the vision. So, oh my Sahaba, hold on to your salah. Let us see that we make it a common practice. So many ahadith are flashing through my mind. My time doesn't permit me. So the first message is salah. Second is wama malakat aymanukum. And fear Allah with regards to treatment to your servants. Again, scholars explain the deep meaning and implications of this year. That if a person will honor the duty to those below him, when he enjoys a degree of authority, he is at liberty to exploit. He is at liberty to abuse. If he will fear Allah in this contentious issue of his life, which becomes very contentious for many people, and authority becomes in a manner in which they start exploiting, if he will become conscious of Allah in this regard, then he will never fail in the regards of those that are senior to him. It is unfortunate when we measure our kindness, we measure it in a way that suits us. So a person ideally consoles, flatters, and conceits himself by saying, I'm a very good man. Why? My mother-in-law loves me. She says, like, I'm like a son to her. My boss promoted me. My neighbor, we have outings. My mom, oh, she's never happy. Don't worry about her. Allah has everything to do on judging you via your mother. We judge ourselves that we are polite to the customers. That is customer courtesy. Have you convinced those in your employment? Have you left them making dua for you? Understand, Anas radiallahu anhu was the servant of the Nabi of Allah. As a young child, you cannot tell me he wasn't provoked into a situation. Yet Anas, the servant, says, if your servant has said you're a kind man, take it from me, you're a kind man. Otherwise, don't fall prey to the false, the false temptations or the false identities given to you by other people. Allah will judge us and Allah will screen us through our kindness to those under us. That is how Allah, those under our employment, those over whom Allah has given us authority. Abu Mas'ud Badri says, we had a servant in our house and one day I was about to hit him. And then someone from the back came and said, لَلَّهُ أَقْدَرُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْكَ عَلَى هَذَا الْغُلَامِ. Abu Mas'ud, you know what? Allah has more access over you than you have over your servant. And Allah is at more liberty over you than you are over your servant. When I turned around, I seen the face of the Nabi of Allah. And I felt embarrassed. I said, هُوَ حُرٌّ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Can I say he is free for the pleasure of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, أَمَا لَوْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ لَلَفَحَتْكَ النَّارِ. Just as well you said it, otherwise Jahannam will not leave you. So the last words of the Nabi of Allah were slaves. Undoubtedly we have passed the era where slaves are. But we do have people under our control. Imagine, I mentioned this back home in South Africa as well, that a person, a servant or a slave, a prisoner came to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, when I entered, I hated Muhammad the most. And by the third morning, I loved Muhammad the most. We have non-Muslim staff under our employment that are working for us for 20 years. Not once does he ask me, Mr. Muhammad, Mr. Yusuf, Mr. Ibrahim, tell me you're going to pray. What is this prayers? You are fasting. What are you fasting? A most staunch disbeliever. His heart was melted in 3 days. And here people watching us and observing and monitoring us for 20 years. Yet they never dare to ask us on Islam. There is a major question mark on the reflection of Islam we are presenting. Abu Dharr, the riwayat comes in Bukhari. One person says, لَقِيتُ أَبَا ذَرٍ بِالرَّبْزَةِ وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ وَعَلَى غُلَامِهِ حُلَّةٌ. I seen Abu Dharr walking, and he was dressed, and his slave was dressed in the same uniform. His slave was dressed. We do not have to improve the image of Islam. It has its natural beauty. Let us undo the contamination that we have put over it, and it has its natural attraction. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. So I asked Abu Dharr, what is the matter? You and your servant are wearing same clothes. Has he been promoted or have you been demoted? He says, you know what? عَيَّرْتُهُ بِأُمِّهِ. One day, I made some derogatory remarks about his mother. I made some derogatory remarks. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Aba Dharrin, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya. Abu Dharr, undoubtedly you have embraced Islam, but I get the smell of ignorance and the odor of darkness still coming from you. I still get that odor of darkness. Let us look deep down into our lives and see how much wrong we are doing. In conclusion, I say, if we cannot become ambassadors of truth and we cannot become agents of truth, my humble appeal to one and all that have gathered here, let it never be that my action at any time tarnishes the reputations of the Muslims or soils the name of the Muslim or blemishes the character of the Muslims. We conclude with the couplets, إلهي نجني من كل ضيق إلهي نجني من كل ضيق فأنت إلهنا مولى الجميع وهب لي في المدينة مستقرا ورزقا ثم دفنا في البقيع.